This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
At this time I'm going to have the secretary call the roll.
Brown.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Amdahl.
Here.
Parsley. Sutton.
Here.
White. Boleyn.
Here.
Hagar.
Here.
Holly.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Johns.
Here.
Ramkema.
Here.
Wink.
Here.
Kamak.
Here. And representative Gosh will be joining us in a minute, and I'll have the secretary call his name when he comes into the room. We have a quorum. At this time, the presenters of the bond reports to the 2007 Bond Review Committee, we are, in spite of all the information we've dealt with today, we are right on time, so we want to keep working through this. The first one will be the South Dakota Housing Development Authority, and that would be Mark Lossing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Mark Lossing. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Reports that have been provided to the Bonding Review Committee include our audited financial statements for June 30th, 2016, SDHDA's FY 2016 annual report, a list of current bonds outstanding, a list of bonds issued since the last Bonding Review Committee meeting, and the South Dakota Housing Opportunity Fund report for FY 2016. In the past year, SDHDA has issued a total of $175 million in homeownership mortgage bonds. In December of last year, $75 million of bonds were issued for the purchase of mortgage loans, which were bundled into mortgage-backed securities. In June of 2016, $100 million of bonds were issued. $45 million of those bonds were issued to refund the 2006 Series A bonds, and $55 million were issued for the purchase of mortgage loans that were bundled into mortgage-backed securities. In fiscal year 2016, SDHDA loaned $251 million to 1,899 first-time homebuyer families in South Dakota. Interest rates on the mortgage loans currently range from 3.0% to 4.625%. This is about 0.375% higher than the rate that I did in my memo to you last week, as interest rates have been trending higher since the presidential election. The homeownership bond program continues to maintain a AAA rating from Standard & Poor's rating agency, and in May of this year, Moody's rating service upgraded our bond rating from AA1 to a AAA rating. For the Governor's House program, a total of 118 homes were sold in fiscal year 2016, and a total of 2,479 homes have been sold since the inception of the program in 1996. I've also included the annual report for the South Dakota Housing Opportunity Fund, which is part of Build South Dakota program. In FY 2016, a total of $2.6 million was allocated, which will result in 393 families or individuals benefiting from the housing programs that are made available from the funds. Yesterday, our Board of Commissioners met and considered applications of over $4 million, of which there were $800 of Housing Opportunity Fund funds remaining to be available. I'd like to be brief because it is late in the afternoon, so that'll conclude my report and I can open any questions anyone has.
Are there any questions or comments on the report? Representative Holly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a real quick question on default rate on the South Dakota housing. I'm sure it's in a report here. What's the default rate? Is there?
Well, our portfolio has been shrinking. We used to do whole loans and we had a rather large portfolio. But that's been shrinking due to payoffs and foreclosures because now we issue, if we purchase a mortgage, we bundle it into a mortgage-backed security and sell it on the open market. So I think our delinquency rate's right around 5%. The foreclosure rate's around 1%. But our delinquency rate was probably around 2.5% to 3% as it got bigger. But as it shrinks, you know, more of the delinquent loans are still there and the good loans have refinanced or paid off.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you for your report. Also, let the record reflect that Representative Gosch is in attendance. We'll move on to the South Dakota Conservancy District.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Mike Perkovich. I'm with the South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources. I'm the program administrator for the Water and Waste Funding Program. I also have with me two staff, John Peshong and Andy Brules. Our report covers the activities of the Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Fund programs. The Board of Water and Natural Resources is authorized to administer these programs, and the Board of Water and Natural Resources also serves as the Board of the South Dakota Conservancy District, which is the body that is authorized to issue bonds. The Clean Water SRF program was established in 1989 and the Drinking Water State Revolving Program in 1997. These are low-interest loan programs that are operated under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The federal government provides annual capitalization grants to each state, and the states must match this grant on a 5-to-1 ratio, and South Dakota's primary source of match funds is through the issuance of bonds. Periodically, the Conservancy District also issues bonds above that is required to meet demand on the program, and these are what we call our leverage bonds. Real quickly to go through the report, there's six sections in the report. The first is the executive summary, which summarizes the programs and the district's activities for the past state fiscal year. It provides a summary of previous bond activities. We have issued 19 issues with a par value of a little over $560 million. Of that, we have an outstanding balance of about $228.5 million. I would note that there were no bonds issued in the past fiscal year. However, we do expect that we will be issuing a bond in the upcoming calendar year. It will be for both state match and leverage bonds, and we're estimating about $75 to $100 million on that. For the state fiscal year, the program activity in the Clean Water Program, we made 23 loans totaling $33.3 million, and in the Drinking Water Program, we had 15 loans totaling $23.6 million approximately. Section 2 includes the financial statements for the programs. Section 3 and 4 of the report gives overviews and the histories of the Clean Water and Drinking Water SRF programs respectively. Since the inception of the programs, the board has awarded nearly $687.3 million in Clean Water SRF loans and nearly $458.1 million in Drinking Water SRF loans. So between the two programs, we have awarded more than $1.14 billion to South Dakota communities for water and wastewater infrastructure. Section 5 is a summary of all the bond issues that we have issued throughout the years. And then Section 6 just provides the statutes governing the South Dakota Conservancy District and the SRF program. I would like to note at this time one event that was subsequent to the reporting period, and that is that on September 2nd, our trustee, the First National Bank in Sioux Falls, submitted notification that it was resigning as trustee. So we are in the process of getting a new trustee for the programs. Requests for proposals have been sent out. We had five proposals received, and we're currently in the process of interviewing our top candidates. So that concludes my report. I'd be glad to entertain any questions at this time.
Are there any questions or concerns, Representative Boland?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just kind of a curiosity question. What kind of limitation do communities have in the access of funds for these projects? I mean, I see my community with Canton's in there. Just what type of limitations and do communities have on those?
I guess the first thing is, you know, it's got to be broadly an eligible project, which on a clean water, wastewater type projects, pretty much anything's eligible. On the drinking water side, there are a few limitations. You can't build for future growth and things like that. But other than that, if you have the ability to repay a loan, we'll make you a loan. And that has to be at 110% coverage on the loan. But if you either through your sales tax or user fees are able to provide that coverage, we will make the loan.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Representative Hunt.
Again, along the lines of curiosity, and because First National Bank is in my district like it is in a couple of representative districts here, why did they decide no longer to be the trustee? Do you have any idea on that?
Well, the official answer that they gave us is that it was a financial decision. They had a person who ran the program pretty much exclusively, and she was scheduled to retire at the end of this year, and I don't know if that might have played in the decision as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? If there's no further questions, thank you for your report.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the South Dakota Value-Added Finance Authority. That would be Terry LaBrie.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Terry LaBrie, Executive Director of the Value-Added Finance Authority. The authority has a couple revolving loan funds as well as three tax-exempt bond programs, our beginning farmer bond, our agribusiness bond, and then we also issue solid waste disposal bonds for agricultural-related projects. If you turn to page one at the top there, normally that would be where I would give you a summary of our bond issues. In calendar year, or state fiscal year 2016, the authority did not issue any bonds. We did approve two agribusiness relending program loans totaling $368,000, and we also approved. Excuse me.
Your time is up, ma'am. go ahead.
Sorry. We also approved applications in our value-added subfund of $153,135. The middle section of our report just identifies the historical bonds and loans that we have issued or made. If you turn your attention to the last three pages of our report, this is our financial statements. Our Value-Added Finance Authority, typically the revenue that we receive off of those are application fees as well as bond closing fees, and since we didn't issue any bonds, the revenues were minimal. Expenditures, our contractual services are usually our big one, and that would be our bond counsel expenses, where we issue a bond, we pay our bond counsel. So these expenses here would be payments we made in this fiscal year to bonds that we issued in the previous fiscal year. So that's why you're seeing expenses and minimal revenues there. On the bottom of page 29 is our value-added subfund position statement. We divided that up between our loans outstanding as well as our cash position at the end of the year. And then on page 30 is our relending program financial statements there. So you can kind of get a feel for our revolving loan funds as well as our bonds that we have issued. So in light of the time, I would just stand by for any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions or concerns? I did have a quick question. On the charts that are in there, there's a spike in the nutrient management bonds that were issued in 15. I was just wondering what the reason for that was.
Probably more activity due to higher commodity prices at that time. Okay. More development going on.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? If there are no other questions, thank you for your report.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the South Dakota Economic Development Finance Authority, Cassie Stoser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cassie Stoser, and I'm the finance director at the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Out of our office, we service the loan programs for the Economic Development Finance Authority, and I'm happy to be here today to discuss our most recent annual report for the Finance Authority, which covers the 2016 fiscal year. I know you're probably all anxious to get out of here early today, so I'll be fairly brief with my comments as I can. If you open the front cover, the first page is an informational listing of our board members, and the second page will show the activity that we've done in fiscal year 16, and you'll note that we issued no new APEX loans or no new EDFA bonds this year. And then the page after that begins our audit report issued by the Department of Legislative Audit. I won't go into a lot of detail in the interest of time, but I'd like to highlight the audit reports on page 1 through 4 and that we received a clean audit this year. Page 5 and 6 show some of the financial highlights of the Economic Development Finance Authority. You'll see that both assets and liabilities decreased in fiscal year 16 as a result of an early bond redemption that decreased the loans receivable as well as the bonds payable. And then lastly, I'd like to mention that our bonds are rated AA by Standard & Poor's. And with that, I'll stand by for any questions.
Are there any questions? If there are no questions, thank you for your report. We'll move on to the South Dakota Building Authority. That would be Dustin Christofferson. And I might observe there's a benefit in being towards the end of the day. There are fewer questions.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Don Templeton, the director of the Housing Development, the Health and Educational Facilities Authority and the South Dakota Building Authority. Dustin's going to go over the Building Authority report, but I've got some exciting news in that we were part of the governor's and lieutenant governor's team that met with the rating agencies. And over the past year and a half, we've been successful in getting the state rated AAA by all three rating agencies. And that has benefited both the Building Authority and the school districts of South Dakota. And the next report, I'll highlight the school districts, and Dustin can.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for having us. I'm going to go through the Building Authority book here, quick-like. Starting on page 1, there's an overview of our authority. Page 2 is members, staff, and council. Page 3 is a snapshot of the bond buyer's revenue index for the 30-year revenue bonds. Page 4 is a 12-month snapshot of the same. Page 5, that states that we did not issue any new bonds since the last time we were here through the South Dakota Building Authority. Page 6 is the start of some of our projects in progress. The first one is 2013B. That was a Board of Regents project, and it was a big one. And this shows that almost everything is complete. There's two smaller projects that are near completion there. Page 7, Game Fish and Parks projects. That's an Angostura and Cedar Shores project. There's a little bit of money left on the Cedar Shores. That was for the bank stabilization project. Page 8, that's Game Fish and Parks. That's the Good Earth Custer State Park Visitor Center. They've got a little over half their money spent. They got kind of a slow start on that because they ran into some artifacts and had to change their location of the project site. Page 9, Board of Regents. That's Series 15B. We talked about this last year, but it shows here that they're about halfway into this one. And that concludes our projects in process, and we'll continue to work with the respective agencies until the projects are complete. Page 10 is a list of our outstanding bonds as of June 30th, 2016. We've got about $287 million outstanding at this time. Page 11 is a map of our projects. Page 12 goes with the map. It's a detailed list of each one. And page 13 to the end is a list of our bond issues from 1969 through today, showing 89 bond issues for $1.2 billion. With that, I'd like to conclude my report. Stand by for questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Holly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Board of Regents, the dorms, because of revenue bonds, they don't show up as under this then? Where do those show up? The Board of Regents directly? And in the case of the Board of Regents bonds directly themselves and those, do they get the AAA rating, or are they under a different rating structure because they're bonding separately?
The South Dakota Building Authority and the Health and Ed Authority, along with the AAA rating, get one notch down, so we're AA plus with these. I don't know about the Dorm Authority.
I don't know the answer what their rate is. They're revenue based on student fees, so I'm not sure what the rate is.
And the same, well, and the new stadium in Brookings, that's a revenue bond too then, because it's not showing up under here under projects under Board of Regents.
We should have that at the end of our report.
Yeah, if you look on page 18.
Oh, I didn't.
They don't. They've spent all the authority money on that project.
Okay, so that did come under this then.
Yes.
Not as a revenue bond then.
It is.
Even though they pledge revenue from it, it's not termed a revenue bond then?
I believe it's termed revenue bond. It's not supported by the HELP system, higher educational facilities.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
It's funded by other fees.
Okay.
And it's, if you look at series 2014A there, we did $33,757,000 toward that, which was, at least at the start of it, roughly about half.
Okay. Well, the good news is I still got 2 years to figure this thing out before I'm gone. I hope to get that done.
Are there any further questions? Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is listed here on page 12, the bottom on page 12 here, under number 5, Brookings. Dana J. Dykhouse Football Stadium. I don't know if that helps that. It's the very last one there. So,
as well as page 18, kind of two-thirds of the way down.
Series 2014A. Didn't go through it in detail because the money's all spent.
Representative Bolin.
Yeah, thank you. So just for clarification, your organization authority does not receive the full AAA bond rating that perhaps the state of South Dakota would receive directly if we decided to bond for a project. Can you explain, am I correct, or if I'm incorrect, please explain that to me, if you would, please.
That's pretty standard with the rating agencies. They will ratchet it down one notch. If the state's AAA, we would get a AA+. And it's been years since I've heard their reasoning behind that, but that's just the way they typically do it.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what would be the difference in interest rate between the highest level, at least approximately, for the best of your knowledge, from the AAA to the AA+ that you referred to? Any idea?
I would guess 5 to 15 basis points interest.
Any further questions? If there's no further questions, thank you for your report. We'll move on to the South Dakota Health and Education Facilities Authority.
Okay, I'm going to start on page 6, if that's okay.
That would be fine.
Okay. Page 6 shows we just completed a bond issue for Sanford Health. It was a $50 million bond issue. 46 of it went to complete the Fargo Medical Center. Approximately $3.8 million was for equipment in Sioux Falls. They had a private placement with J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Got a great interest rate of 1.92% for 10 years. We're working on, under pending, we're working on West Hills Village Retirement Center. That's a super retirement center out in Rapid City. They want to build 44 assisted living units on their campus. In addition to West Hills, we're working on Prairie Lakes Health Center. They want to build a $35 million clinic in Watertown, South Dakota. Page 7. It's kind of the exciting news. We think that with the school districts that we've been assisting in, as a result of the state's AAA rating, Senate Bill 191 in the 2015 legislature created a state aid intercept program. We've been able to get AA+ ratings for, I'm going to review 4 school districts. One is Canton, and I heard Canton. I went down and visited that high school, and it's really, it was really a nice school, and I just envisioned this is going to be a great addition to it. is 7.2 million was the first piece of this, 2.24% rated AA plus. Those were general obligation bonds. Second project, I visited Bridgewater. They're doing a new gymnasium, football field, which is named after Sparky Anderson, the football and the baseball field, I found out, and all-weather track. They did about $4.5 million. They got a nice, attractive rate of 2.17%. Those are backed by capital outlay funds. If you turn to page 8, Harrisburg School District, they purchased some land, 2.9 million dollars, a low interest rate of 2.01%. So you can see the benefit that these nice, attractive, higher interest rates are getting these school districts. In the next page, I'll review the savings. And then the last one, Oglala Lakota, that's a refunding of about $14.5 million. It was privately placed with First Bank and Trust in Brookings. Their interest rate was at a 7.25%, and under this new program, they're down to a 3.95% for the first 5 years. So it's huge savings. I'll show you on the next page. And the source of repayment for that debt is federal impact aid. Turn to page 9. I walked through these, but the savings for Canton were estimating at $100,000, Bridgewater Emory $75,000, Harrisburg $40,000, and Oglala Lakota around $3 million. So it's been exciting to work with this program. That's big money for these school districts. In addition to that, we're working on an elementary school for Meade. That's in Stage Barn, which is between Piedmont and Rapid City, I believe. Huron's a refunding. That may not go with the rates have spiked, as Mark Lossing alluded to earlier. Canton School District, that's the finishing piece for that Performing Arts Center. Meade School District, another $10 million. And that's broken up because if they do $10 million a year, they can be bank qualified. So it's important. If they did it all at once, it wouldn't be bank qualified, so they can get a lower interest rate for the school district. So it's kind of a timing deal. But it'll be beneficial to the school district. And then Redfield School District. Dustin, what's Redfield? Remember the project?
No, I don't.
Okay, $8.1 million for Redfield. In addition, since this report, we've been contacted by Gayville Vollen. They're interested in about $2.6 million of bonding for an addition. And Rapid City School District is looking at some refunding of some Build America bonds that I believe were issued about 10 years ago. Moving on quickly, page 10 shows our outstanding bonds of $1.4 billion at June 30. We show maps of the healthcare project, so you can kind of see what we financed in your districts. And that's page 11. Page 12 is the educational project, so you can see which your districts. And then pages 13 through 21. If you turn to 21, these are all the projects we've issued since the inception of our authority in 1972. It's almost $4.2 billion, 240 bond issues. In addition to that, we've assisted in both healthcare, educational, and school district projects. Those are on page 22 through 23. Those have totaled $74 million. and they're for 40 issues. And I'm open for questions.
Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, thank you, Mr. Templeton. Appreciate you being with us this morning, or this evening. I guess it's late afternoon. It's all relative, right? Anyway, it's not often you hear exciting and accounting in the same breath, but this is good news. As you as we start to see the merits of the school district state aid intercept program on page 9, so I'm happy to see these results. I'm just curious, the estimated savings, are those, is that over the life of the bonds, or is it's not net present value?
So it's a total over the life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that's significant, because didn't you say the face value interest rate was, or the stated interest rate, original interest rate was like 7.5 or something like that. Now you've refinanced it to like half that, right?
For Oglala,
yeah.
Some of these school districts, the neat thing about the program is some of these school districts probably wouldn't be able for a rating. And to provide them a AA+ rating, it's really beneficial. Some bigger school districts like Sioux Falls School District or Rapid City, I think, would be a... Okay, sorry. Some of the bigger school districts like Sioux Falls and Rapid City, I think, are like a AA-, and they jump up to a AA+. And some of these smaller school districts wouldn't have been rated at all. So it's been a fun program to be a part of.
Senator Omdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got a question. I look at the title of the South Dakota Health and Education Facilities Authority. Turning to page 6 and page 11, I see there's $46.2 million to complete Fargo. Last time I checked, Fargo's in North Dakota. Then I look on page 11, North Dakota, Dickinson, Sanford, Fargo, Sanford, Hillsboro, Sanford, Minnesota, Sanford, Avera. Isn't this just for South Dakota? I guess if somebody else has a business here and wants to go elsewhere, how applicable is that?
May I address that?
Yes.
In 2004, the state legislature changed the law where our authority is able to issue bonds in South Dakota and contiguous states that touch South Dakota if there's a South Dakota component. That's been on the books since 2004. Four of our largest employers in the state are in the healthcare industry that practice within the state and outside of the state. And I've been taught by my long-term friend who's passed, Jeremiah Murphy, that we're facilitators, not legislators. So we just make it work that under South Dakota state law.
Senator Omdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if I have a manufacturing business here in South Dakota and I want to do a subsidiary in another state, I would qualify?
Not under our statute, because we're limited to health care. We can turn to – I skipped over this, but let's go back to page 1. We're limited to nonprofit health and educational institutions. That's number one, school districts, and then we also work with the tech ed program. We assist the four, we issue for the four tech eds.
Senator Omdahl.
So if I was a pharmacy company, then that'd be considered health care?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
They'd be nonprofit health institutions, and there's South Dakota codified law, which I don't have in front of me, but yeah, right.
Representative Holly, one quick question. What is you're talking about all these projects. What is your limitation on bonding authority limit? How much can you bond? I mean, you got a lot of big bonding projects, and is there a limit for you? And what's it based on?
We don't have a limit. We look at the credit of the project to repay.
I mean, whether you do $1 billion or $2 billion or $5 billion, if the project pays for it, you've got the authority to go bond on it?
We do. I don't know of any limitation. What's the largest one that we've issued?
I think around 200.
Yeah, about 200 is our largest. Most of them are quite small. Correct. So we're limited by term, 40 years for health and ed authority, and 25 years for the building authority.
Okay. Just a quick question, and to Senator Umdahl's question, by us bonding those South Dakota affiliated enterprises that are outside of the state, has that ever got in the way of a South Dakota enterprise being funded?
Could you repeat the question?
Is there a limitation? I mean, are we, by funding those, is there any limitations of availability of capital that wouldn't, that a South Dakota entity wouldn't be qualified for? In other words, you loan for a project in Fargo, North Dakota that's $50 million, and another entity in South Dakota comes up and asks for bonding or for $20 million. Is there ever a limitation of available capital because of those?
We have not experienced that. It's the capital markets that would be interested in either purchasing a through a public offering or maybe a private placement with a bank. So
Is there any other questions, or Representative Bolin?
Got another question too. Do you ever turn people down? I mean, are there school districts or, you know, it's basically for healthcare educational facilities. You ever look at a school district and say we really don't think that you can adequately make this payment unless you somehow opted out of the tax freeze? I mean, you ever turn anybody down?
We've turned down some healthcare provider projects before. This school district is a new program, and to get the AA-plus rating from Standard & Poor's, you have to have 2x state aid coverage. There's some school districts that probably do not have 2x state aid coverage, but we haven't encountered that yet, and I guess we'd have to visit with the board and as well as the state, because the state's got to sign the intercept agreement to make this program work.
Okay. Any further questions? If there's no further questions, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
And it also blew my theory about fewer questions at later in the day. So, it was very interesting. Okay, we have one more order of business. We would entertain a motion that the bonding committee receive and accept the South Dakota Bonding Authority reports given into record. Moved by Representative Hunt, second by Representative Bolin. Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the secretary will call the roll.
Brown.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Umdahl.
Aye.
Parsley. Sutton.
Aye.
White. Bolin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes, 2 excused.
13 ayes, the motion passes. Believe that concludes the business that we have on the agenda. At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Hager and seconded by Representative Gosch. And my apologies, but we need to do a roll call vote.
Brown.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Umdahl.
Aye.
Parsley. Sutton.
Aye.
White. Bolin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hagar.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes, 2 excused.
13 ayes, we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.